Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock on this 18th of May. I have your host, James, here. I'm joined by my head of production, Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're joined right now by one of our favorite people, Madison Rafter from the Southwick County Humane Society is with us today with our Pet of the Week. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Good to hear. How are things going over at the shop, over at the Humane Society?
Oh, we're good. Summertime is in full swing, so we're keeping busy.
We're going to talk about some of the things you guys got going on over there, some of the events happening as well, but we have to get to first and foremost, because we love seeing you, Madison, but we really love it when you bring in a furry friend, and we have a new furry friend that I want to take home with me.
He's this little sweetheart. This is Chewbacca. So Chewbacca is a little Pomeranian mix of a sort. He came into us as a stray, so we don't really have a lot of history as to where he came from or anything along those lines. Chewbacca still needs to be neutered, so he will get neutered next week. Once he is neutered, then he will be available for adoption. Little dude's just reverse sneezing right now.
But
he is fantastic with other dogs. He just wants to play. We put him in play groups all the time, and he is the smallest dog in the group, and he just will romp around with everybody like, hey, how's it going? He loves to play ball. He loves to play chase, and he is just a goofy little dude.
He, very sweet.
Very sweet dog.
Is there certain things about the breed, Poms, that people should know with him?
Yeah, especially any of the little dogs that have longer hair, especially the Pomeranians. They are dogs that need constant grooming. So they're ones that you can do the brushing at home, or you can take them into a groomer, but they are dogs that need grooming constantly. It's their fur type as well. They're always going to be ones that do shed a little bit more, and they can get matted very quickly. He came in with quite a few mats behind his ears and on his butt, so we did have to cut those because they were too tight for us to even attempt to try to brush them out. So usually with the longer hair breeds, it's something that they will need a little bit more grooming than most of your typical dogs.
And they're so worth it.
It's
especially the people that I know that have owned them and everything. It's a routine that they do with their dog. It's part of a one girl I knew. She said that it was her meditation, like her time meditating, where she would comb her dog out and everything, and they'd just sit there together for like an hour doing this. I don't know how long it would take normally or anything like that. I think she was taking her time with it. But I don't think it's certainly not a huge commitment, and it's definitely not a big commitment when you consider what you gain, what you're getting with this guy. Because I've never met a Pom that wasn't sweet, but this guy takes the cake. I mean, that is one of the sweetest dogs I've ever met.
He's got a little underbite. It just makes him cute.
It does. It really does. It's an adorable dog. As far as the neutering part, is that something that would be taken care of before the adoption? Or?
Yep, so he won't be available fully until he is neutered, so he will be coming up on the website next week. We have our surgery got backed up a little bit, so we are getting most of our dogs altered next week, so he will be on the website probably by the end of next week.
When we go to the top of the hour, I go out, bring in the guest and stuff, and usually with Madison, if she has an animal, I get to meet the animal right as soon as I see Madison. So I had a moment with Chewy to talk to him, and he has no problem putting this off. He has no problem putting this surgery off another week or two. You go ahead and take your time with it. One important note I wanted to mention about the Humane Society, and you get this note right away when you pull up their webpage, that you guys are allowing cat walkthroughs at this time if people are interested in meeting dogs or filling out applications, a lot of these things. I want people to understand the process before they just show up.
Yeah, so our cats, we are allowing walkthroughs. If you find one when you are in the building, you can fill out an application or have one already ready to go, so you could fill it out before you show up, just so that makes the process a little quicker. With our dogs, we do have an appointment based only, and we do have to have an application filled out first. The reason we do it that way is just for the aspect that we have the time to spend with our dog clients, because we don't necessarily have the full space for either our meet and greets are done in the lobby or they're done outside in our play area. So we want to make sure that we have the time and space to be able to have those meet and greets, sit down, talk about what behaviors we got going on. We still do that with our cat ones as well, but with our dogs, they tend to take a little bit more time, especially if you have another furry friend at home that we got to do a dog intro with, or everybody in the household needs to meet with them, that kind of thing.
Medicine, we know that it's always cat season. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, pretty much it is. There are things that you guys are in need of over there that we could drop off, we can donate, we can invest with you?
Yeah, definitely. So we are in high need of tennis balls right now. We have a German Shepherd that is absolutely in love with them, and he has plunged through our supply of tennis balls.
Oh, no.
They are his favorite. He's always monitored when we are playing with him, but it is, he has five tennis balls at any given time, and usually all five are destroyed by the time that we're done playing with them. He is just a love, but tennis balls is our highest need right now, just because poor Ace, he just loves his tennis balls and he just wants to have them all the time. Garbage bags and Dawn dish soap are our highest needs right now.
Okay. All right. And those are things, you know, not asking for the moon here. I mean, these are pretty easy things to be able to pick up and drop off. Now, say we do pick some of this stuff off and we'd like to drop it off. Should we call ahead beforehand before doing that kind of thing?
Donations can be dropped off anytime during our business hours. You don't need to call. You're more than welcome to call. If you have questions about stuff that we can take for donations, you're more than welcome to call and we can tell you, yeah, we can take that, or, oh, sorry, we wouldn't be able to take that. So if there was any questions, you're more than welcome to call. Otherwise, stop by during business hours.
I'm on the board with the Family Center, and whenever we're talking about the Family Center, I do a similar thing. That, you know, these items may not seem like a big deal. It may not seem like the most expensive stuff, but every little thing that you can invest, that you can donate with the Humane Society, the Family Center, these kind of places, it's one less thing for Madison and her staff to have to worry on. They can focus on the more important task at hand, these animals, and vice versa, you know, similar to the Family Center with the clients that they have. Anytime you can do these things, we may not think, well, it's not thousands of dollars I'm donating. What's the big deal? It goes a long way. Every little bit truly does help.
Yep, for sure. Everything that we take in for donations are always used in the building. If it's something that we can't use and it is dropped off, we do try to donate it to other organizations. Otherwise, we call our other Humane Society friends in the area and see if they need any supplies or resources as well.
That makes perfect sense, but I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yep.
That is really cool. That is very cool to hear. And I've talked about this with some of the people over at the Portage Society, that how much more Humane Societies are trying to work together more now.
Yep.
We're more stronger together.
We try to use resources. We sometimes had to try to flip animals around, too. Mm. So if an animal sits with us for too long, we try to find a place in the area or even out of the area that would be able to accept. And we flip-flop animals, too, just because sometimes, like, one area, they see an animal that's on the website for 6 months, and they're like, what's wrong with that animal? Why is it still on that website?
Yep.
And it sadly just gives them a bad rap, even though they could be a fantastic animal.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just a matter of flip-flopping animals to try to find them a better area, or if it's flip-flopping resources, too, because some Humane Societies use bleach, some of them do not. Mm-hmm. We would be one that does not use bleach, so we usually try to donate ours to other organizations that do use that. So it's all about trying to make sure that we're building better partnerships across with all of our Humane Society friends, other organizations, just to try to make sure that we're all supporting each other.
Right on. As we wrap up, I want to go home with Chewy. I want to talk about June, because of course May is just right around, I'm just wrapping up already. We've got June, some great events going on with the Humane Society. The White Sands Mini Golf Nonprofit is going to be Monday, June 4th from 10 to 8 over at Lake Wazicha there. All the proceeds are going to benefit the Southwick County Humane Society, so that is a wonderful event. Want to encourage people to attend. Check that out.
Just a correction, June 5th, sorry. Does the website say 4th?
What did I say? No, it says June 5th. I don't know.
Okay, it's June 4th.
You know, my favorite number is 4, and I probably just threw it in. No, June 5th.
It's okay.
Show up on June 4th. Where's the animals? Where's everybody? June 5th is the date. And if you want the correct dates and more correct information, you can go to their website, swchs.com. Encourage you to do that, like their page, bookmark it. There's a county craft sale going on June 10th as well, I see, over on Peaceful Trail in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a fun event, too. That's a nice one.
We will have a booth set up, and we'll try to bring a furry friend with us.
And I see WFHR has a Petpalooza coming up June 11th. This sounds amazing, wonderful, maybe one of the greatest events I've ever heard of. This is going to be fun.
We're excited for it, for sure, especially being on the shelter grounds. We are going to be open that day as well. Usually we are closed on Sundays, but we're going to open the building that day too, so we're very excited for that to happen.
We are building and building on this, and we're going to make it so much fun for the community and everybody involved, and we're going to raise some awareness and some funds for our Humane Society and have a good time doing it.
Yes.
We're so excited to have it happen.
It's always a blast having you in, Madison. Thanks so much for joining us. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about Chewy or any of the animals or just anything in general at the Humane Society, how can they get in contact with you?
They can check on the website at swchs.com. Otherwise, they can give us a call at 715-423-0505.
And encourage you again to bookmark their webpage, swchs.com. Got a great Facebook page, a great presence on social media. Find them on social media and follow along with the things that they are doing. And support our Humane Society any opportunity you have. Thanks again, Madison.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, come back, and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Love that shuka shuka. Yeah. That's so good. So good.
Sitting on cloud nine, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the morning show, everyone. And I hope the audience appreciates I'm still here.
I hope so, too.
I was inches close to grabbing that poor dog and running off.
Running off.
I'd have left some money. I wouldn't have just taken them. You know, I'd have donated.
Stealing is wrong. So, yeah.
You know? But, yes. I love that dog. Shout out to Madison, to Chewbacca, to joining us, and all of our friends over at the Southwick County Humane Society. That was fun.
That was good. That was such a friendly dog. My goodness.
That is the importance of local radio.
Yeah.
That is why it is important to have a local station representing, having the time on the air to be able to do so, things like that, and different things that we can raise awareness for and causes for.
You know it, man.
When I get into some entertainment news, Johnny Depp don't care about Hollywood anymore.
Oh, okay.
He has no further need for Hollywood. During a press conference at the Cannes Film Festival yesterday, he said, quote, "I don't feel boycotted by Hollywood because I don't think about Hollywood. It's a strange, funny time where everybody would love to be able to be themselves, but they can't. They must fall in line with the person in front of them. If you want to live that life, I wish you the best. I'll be on the other side somewhere." But he did feel shunned before his defamation trial last year. Quote, "When you're asked to resign from a film you're doing because of something that is merely a function of vowels and consonants floating in the air, basically there's no fact behind it, just a bunch of hyperbole.
Right.
You feel boycotted. You feel rough about it because you feel like there's nobody defending you. You feel like you're the only person on this, on the side of things." Mm-hmm. He also joked that he's had his 17th comeback, even though he hasn't gone anywhere. He has a new movie that opened in French theaters, but it doesn't have a U.S. release date. It's part of the reason he was there. He actually got a huge standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival.
Wow.
In the industry, he's got all the respect in the world. I don't know if by the public standard he does. I know he did. I know he had some stature at one point.
Yep.
I don't know how much that has faded and gone away or what have you.
Right.
But it is still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, too, because this is the balance we all have to do nowadays. Mm-hmm. We're you know, they used to joke, you never want to meet your heroes. Well, we meet them all now.
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not.
Exactly.
They're out there in full force. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're a big fan of somebody, and then you hear them say something politically, or you hear them say something about this subject or that subject, and you're like, ooh, wait a minute, oh my god, like I looked up to that person, and ooh,
yeah.
Or you may, they have a similar thought process that I do.
Yeah.
We have this in common, how interesting and stuff. Because another reminder, these people are just human beings.
They're humans.
They are just human, just like the rest
just
of
as
us,
as flawed as anyone else. Something to keep in mind. Yeah.
You may think this person is flawed for what they did. I don't know. To each their own. And I am not a Swiftie, though I respect the Swift audience. Please do not come after me.
But make sure you say that several times.
I am not. You could put every Nazi KKK member in a room, and I'll walk in there with my chin up. I got no fear whatsoever. You get the Swift army after me, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous.
Watch out, man.
And I don't even know them. I don't even know whether they came after me before, though. Them and the Bare Naked Ladies army. Like, man, they are vicious.
Yeah. The Swift Army, I think, is a little bigger, though. That's the more scary thing there, yeah.
Xander White and his wife wanted to see Taylor Swift, but tickets were too expensive and too hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a unique bargaining chip. They own a New Orleans pizza joint called Z's Pizzeria, and they offered free pizza for a year in exchange for tickets.
Whoa.
Not a bad idea. Throw it out there, see what happens.
See what happens.
Well, a local woman named Janine Davidson saw their offer on Facebook, and turned out she was going to Taylor's Houston show with a friend. They had two extra tickets, so they made it happen.
Nah, all right.
As for the free pizza, Janine says, quote, I get it for a full year. I'm going to try and go as often as I can. I'm trying to stay healthy. That's always the challenge, but it's great pizza. This is a win-win. Oh,
this is a great, that's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
How nice is that?
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
And it works out for the couple that owns the pizza shop, of course, because they get to go. But for Janine here, she just had the two extra tickets.
Look at now, they've got the story, it's gone viral, and now they've got all this free advertising for their pizza place. Now everyone is going to be visiting New Orleans. They're like, oh, let's go to that one pizza place that we heard about, you know, let's check that out, man.
And she's really good at the social media thing, and hearing stories like this. I wouldn't be shocked if she reaches out to that couple or
knowing her
does something along those lines or whatever to get them more involved or get it involved, bring in some more attention and everything.
I'm with you there, man.
Look what my fan base will do to see me, you know, that kind of thing. Which more power to her. That's like there's a reason she is as big as she is, and it's partially because of her great social media presence.
Right. There's an ad for a hotel that she's in right now. There's a whole bunch of her, you know, like in different costumes. She does such a great job with that ad. I'm always like it because she's playing against, you know, her image as well, you know, about being the hugest star in the world and all that kind of thing. She's playing against that a little bit.
And finally, to wrap up our entertainment segment, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem are one of the greatest fake bands of all time.
Woo!
And now they have accomplished something very few fake bands have ever done. They have made it on the Billboard charts.
They did?
And I'm out. As you probably know, they have their own Disney Plus show called Muppets Mayhem, and the soundtrack debuted at number 13 on the kids' album chart.
Wow. I'm
going to play right now for you, Rock and Roll All Night, from the soundtrack of that.
They actually sound better than Kiss.
I was waiting. I figured that was coming. It's called Muppets Mayhem, music from the Disney Plus original series, and it features 17 songs credited to the band. Some were written for the show, but there were also some covers like that one. That is pretty cool.
Good stuff.
Now, we're going to keep this the phone lines open for the next 5 minutes because I want to know your favorite fake band.
Oh,
424-2600, call up, tell me your favorite fake bands. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't play music. I think the Monkees are a good example. They were musicians, but they weren't an actual, like, quote unquote, true band because they were kind of put together.
Put together, yep, that's
that
right.
That kind of thing.
Yep.
I think that, now maybe I'm wrong here and I get Mikey yelled at for this, but when I think of a fake band, that's the first thing I think of, were they put together. Well, that's almost every boy band in human history.
Are they all fake bands?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I'm not trying to talk trash about them. No. I'm just kind of asking the question here and stuff. I'm also not trying to Tucker Carlson that by not owning the question. I do own the question, and if you are mad at me, I will take that.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
I am curious. Spinal Tap is the first thing I think of.
Oh, that's a great one. That is a great one.
I'm going to put it to 11. Well, what's the difference? Well, 11's higher.
Why not just make 10 louder? Well, which goes 11?
So good.
And again, because they released a couple of albums over their career, Spinal Tap has actually released some music. But you're right, they're not a real band. They're not like, you know, organically come together. No. Just some actors that played, you know, their own, you know, could play some music and stuff.
What about like Josie and the Pussycats?
Another good one. Yeah. The Archies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about.
They're really fake. They're cartoons.
What about Stillwater from Almost Famous?
Ooh.
So Jason Lee was not a trained singer. He learned to sing for that role. Mm-hmm. Billy Kudrup, I believe, learned to play guitar to play that role.
Wow. Okay.
So I don't know if you'd count them. They might be a reach. But that was an interesting band. I thought that was a pretty cool band.
Yep.
That was one of the few times in a movie where I saw a fake band and I was like, well, I'd actually check them out.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. So so here's a band that's kind of in a gray area. Mm. Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, yes.
Are they real or not?
That's a great
That's a great question, because not only are they terrific songwriters and came up with some brilliant songs for their show, but did the show come first or the band? I guess I don't know that the answer to that one.
I'll say that they're definitely a real band, okay. But in part because I'm thinking of Tenacious D with Jack Black.
And
I think that's a real band.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like if I consider Tenacious D a real band, I have to consider Flight of the Conchords a real band.
The Banana Splits.
Oh!
Are those a real band? Yeah, are they a real band or not?
That took Is that a
fake band?
That's a good one. That's a good reference. Oh, I like that one.
Well, that's from the 70s, man. I don't know if many people got that one.
That's a good one. I'm just going to pull up a list here.
Okay, all right.
424-2600 if anybody else wants to call in. I just thought of one. Eddie and the Cruisers.
From the movie. That's right.
It's one of my dad's all-time favorite movies.
Really?
Like top five favorite movies. Wow. That man watched that movie endlessly, tons and tons of times. That was one of the only time in a movie where it was a fake character, fake all this, but I thought that as a kid watching it, my dad and how into it he got, I thought this was a real story the first time I saw it.
Like based on an actual band.
I didn't know it was a fake story and stuff until I got a little older and everything.
Such a good job, yeah.
It was that, and the song on the dark side. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
That was huge, and
it was an actual hit. Yeah. Yeah, it was on the pop charts.
I thought they were a real band. They had a hit song. They had, and then as emotional as my dad got with that, the ending of the movie and all that stuff. But that's I'm a little mad at myself. I didn't think of that first.
The Wonders from That Thing You Do.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And they had some great, some of the music they came up with on that one was really good too.
Ooh. Wild Stallions! Bill and Ted. Heck yeah.
That's a good one. I'm going to get a little meta here, okay? Let's see. So you have a movie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You in your movie you have an actual band that appears in as the band. They're like playing at a party or something like that. So I'm thinking of like a Blow Up, the Yardbirds.
Yeah.
In Blow Up, you know, the actual Yardbirds were in there with Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page when they were together in the Yardbirds. I'm thinking of Clueless, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones are in Clueless.
That's right.
Now, does that mean that now this band has been shown to actually be in this universe of this movie?
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're not real in the movie now?
Oh, it's a good question. It's a good question. I like it. It's a very good question. I like it.
Or is the band now, because they appeared in this other universe, is that band, that version of the band, fake to us? Oh, man, I don't know.
Brings up a lot of interesting questions. I immediately thought of, when you said that, of animated shows, because I know, like, on the Flintstones, they had little music numbers and stuff and everything. The Simpsons with the B-sharps.
Yes, yeah, that's a good fake band right there.
On Adult Swim, you had Death Clock. You had On Metalocalypse. That was a good one.
That's a great band name.
Brandon on that show, an amazing guitar player. Like,
I've heard that, yeah.
He is, like, literally, like, legit. He's an actual guitar player. Like, he is incredible. Those are good. Speaking of these kind of bands in that gray area, the Gorillaz.
Oh.
David Albarn, or I always say his last name wrong.
Damon Albarn, yeah.
Albarn, yep. Damon Albarn.
Yep.
Of course, with Blur and a very good musician.
Yep.
He is pretty much the Gorillaz himself. Mm-hmm. They bring on a lot of guests and everything.
And, stuff,
and when he does live, they perform live with other band members, but they've got the animated characters on a big screen in the back.
That's a whole different. Yeah, we're talking very
That's
meta.
Different.
That's
yeah.
very different on that one, too. Because you could consider them. I mean, because the concept of the band. Visually, it's from Jamie Hewitt, the cartoonist, famous for Tank Girl. That was what he's most famous for, the artist and writer of Tank Girl. And he's the guy that designed the band, the members of the band. So I don't know. That is an excellent question.
And I see Jen and the Holograms on this list. Got to mention that for all of our sisters.
The Gem and the Holograms, yes.
But I wanted to wrap up on this one. I've seen trouble. That's right, the Soggy Bottom Boys, Man of Constant Sorrow. God, I love this song.
Yeah.
I never get tired of that song.
Yeah, that's a great. The soundtrack to that movie is one of the most brilliant soundtracks of ever, of all time.
I mean, so many great producers on that. T-Bone Burnett was one of the producers on it. There's a couple others, too. Yeah, it's a classic. Yep. Let this play us into Melissa's news. Seth and I will be back with more coming up on The Morning Show.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. Seth and James here with you. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Seth, a big shout out to Seth and all the work he does behind the scenes on these. Fantastic work, my man. Nicely done.
So much fun to do.
We got a good one here. Kraft Heinz has introduced a new machine that will let you create your own special sauce blend.
Ooh. Okay.
These things could pop up at restaurants, cafeterias, or stadiums around where a soda machine might be.
Okay.
And here's how it works.
All right.
You pick a base, which includes stuff like ketchup, ranch, 57 sauce, and barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Then you add in flavor, quote, enhancers like jalapeno or smoky chipotle, buffalo, and mango. You could choose more than one, and they can be added at low, medium, or high intensities.
Oh, okay.
The machine is called the Heinz Remix, and it's just a prototype for now, but they're hoping to start getting them into restaurants later this year.
Wow.
So, on one side, I immediately feel for all waiters and waitresses. Oh. It's not just baristas now that, yeah, I'd like a half cappuccino mocha latte with 2 ounces of foam, but just a dash of, you know, now we're going to be doing that with our ketchups.
Yeah. So, our condiments are just like,
that's wonderful. It's no longer just ketchup. I'd like a hint of ketchup with a tad bit of barbecue sauce. And could you add just a little bit? No.
Tiny dot of Retsin in
do
there.
Do it yourself. Yeah. Do it yourself. Get up, go and do it yourself.
Oh, man.
I think this is awesome, though.
It's kind of cool.
These companies, how do you reinvent ketchup?
Seriously.
How do you resell ketchup? How do you do that? You come up with, you put your heads together and actually try to think of something. Look what you can come up with. Like, for every company that comes up with these lame, like, kind of ideas of trying to, like, bring people to their business or what have you, there's some pretty cool stuff that other companies are doing, and especially these older ones. Heinz has been around
I don't know if it's been 100 years, but they've been around for a long time.
It's as old as the sun. Yeah. It's been around forever. They're being initiative. They're thinking of different ways to get people to buy more Heinz and everything. It's smart. Did anybody else do this where you immediately thought of the Brewers, though? The Brewers have a special sauce at their games, and I love it. It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. No, really totally. The first thing I thought of was going to baseball games, you know, and seeing something there like that that says, you know, oh, here, you get to choose your, you know, whatever you want, your special stuff in your condiments. I can understand, especially if you want stuff that's more spicy. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have like a whole dedicated thing to like hot sauce. Then you can just say, oh, you can put a little jalapeno in your ketchup kind of thing and make it a little more spicy. So makes sense to me.
I like the idea of this, and I'm not saying this like it's going to get people to go to ballparks.
No.
But if it's one more enhancer, if it's one more thing that encourages people to be like, yeah, let's go catch out a game. Oh, and we can do this, this, and this, and then add this on top of it. Mm-hmm. It's one more thing that may get people to ballparks and may get people to do this.
And that's part of the fun for me, going to the ballpark. It's not just the game. It's all the fun stuff that goes along with it, the food and all the other promotions and stuff. That's the enjoyable part. As much as I love baseball, of course, I know for people who aren't as big baseball fans, that adds to the enjoyment of the whole experience.
More bang for your buck.
There you go.
That is what people want. People have always wanted from the beginning of consumerism to today. I spend a dollar, I want to get $5 worth.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what we want.
How much can I get for it? Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often in life. But what I love about sporting events, especially like baseball, like you mentioned, is you're getting the game, you're getting all that, and all this other pomp and
fun stuff that's going with it. Yeah.
That's part of what I think brings us to baseball and brings us to sporting events.
Sure, absolutely.
I got to look this up. Okay. I want to know the origin of this now. the origin of bang for your buck. For your buck. I want
a little impromptu idiom one here. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
The first term originated in the late 60s in the military for expenditures of firepower.
Ooh.
Expenditures of firepower.
Firepower. Yeah. Okay.
And soon was extended to mean an increased financial return for better value. The variant originated in the mid 1900s as an advertising slogan for a carbonated soft drink.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense. More bang for your buck. Yes.
Interesting.
Totally. Wow. That's cool.
Didn't see that coming. Interesting. That is an interesting
one. I love idioms. They're so much fun to learn about.
They are really fun.
So much fun.
424-2600. You guys going to try this? I want to know. Would you try this? What would you do? Or if you could make your own combination, or do you make your own combinations of things already?
Yeah.
I had a friend growing up. He didn't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but he would get a bowl and pour peanut butter and jelly in it and mix it up and eat it. Disgusting. It's revolting to me, but he loved it.
Like, but the bread was the problem? Is that what it was?
I there was a lot of things I didn't understand about Craig, but that was one of them. if you were a friend of mine, you were probably weird.
Yeah, so, there's a reason. Yeah.
I like the idea of people doing that. And we know a lot of people do these things, make their own flavors or what have you. Do you have any flavor combinations? Tell them about it. Share them with us.
Yeah.
424-2600.
Weird ones.
Yes.
Like pineapple and black olives on your pizza.
Yeah.
You've got a friend who their favorite. Their favorite pizza toppings. So
I know I've got a friend who I'm master at Dunkin' cookies. I'm really good at this. I know I get the time in there right. I get the right amount of time in every time. I'm really good at this. I had a friend in college who just would drop the whole cookie in there.
Whoa!
And then as the milk went away and deteriorated, it would get like this chunky milk, like that he loved.
Sounds kind of weird. But that's different.
Mm.
That is very different. I've never heard of that before.
I'm looking for these. I'm looking for these weird combinations, people.
I think we all have something like that, don't we?
I'm
trying to think of one that I would have. I'm trying to, off the top of my head here, something that's kind of weird, but I used to do that when I was a teenager. I would try to invent new sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
You know, just because for whatever reason, I got obsessed with sandwiches for a while there. So the one I remember, okay, and I don't even remember how it tasted. So I took a hot dog, you know, didn't cook it, just chopped it up into, you know, like little pieces, you know, and then I put it on sandwich. I can't even remember what else was on the sandwich. I put it on the bread, sticking like standing up.
Yeah.
So I got like 9 pieces of hot dog standing up, and I put a dab of mustard on top of each one of them. And then I put the bread on and tried to. I don't think it went very well, honestly, because there's no structural integrity to that kind of a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember, for whatever reason, that sticks in my head is like, why? And then I'm going back, why did I do that? It seems like an odd way to make a sandwich.
My sister was okay about pickles, didn't mind them, but didn't love them. But she loved pickle juice. We'd go into the refrigerator, grab a pickle. There's no juice in there. Like, with Jill. Just love it.
I got to say, that's pretty weird.
That's a weird one. Her older brother, I would get made fun of all the time, even to this day. I haven't done it in forever, but I used to get made fun of all the time. I would grab the laziest sandwich of all time. I'd grab 2 pieces of white bread, couple of pieces of pepperoni, throw it together. That was my sandwich. Literally.
That's all you need, man.
Nothing else. No cheese, not even a little bit of mayo or anything. I didn't like mayo, so I wouldn't do that.
Or even butter.
Literally anything else other than that. It was the laziest sandwich of all time, and I loved it.
I like that, though. I like that. Hey, pepperoni's not that far from salami.
No.
You know, it's really close. So, you know.
Love pepperoni. 424-2600. Let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a combination here. Good morning. You're joining the show.
Hi. My sister used to combine mashed potatoes, corn, and High 57 sauce.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Oof.
Ooh. That is a rough. That's gonna be rough on the stomach too. You know, it's sometimes where it's rougher to watch somebody doing something than it is for them to actually take it in. That's what that one feels like. That's a great one.
Absolutely. every time.
Oh, that's good. That's going to be in my head, too. Thank you for that one. Yeah, appreciate the call. Thank you.
Seeing your nightmares now, yeah.
Good, good stuff. Thank you for calling it. 424-2600, you want to join the conversation, everybody. I don't think this is the same thing, but I will use any chance I have to promote the burger that Chris and I came up with and my buddy Vince also had to touch on. It is the Bacon Bagel Double Cheeseburger.
Oh, yes.
It is famous. Everybody, I encourage you to try making one at home.
Infamous or famous, either or.
For years and years and years, I was frustrated going to burger places and the bottom bun falling apart.
You're talking with the bottom bun.
It is a tragedy that is on a different echelon. It is horrible. It shouldn't happen. It is the definition of a that ain't right story, the bottom soggy bun. I can't handle it. Don't like it. Now, with a bagel, bagels are pretty strong, pretty good structure.
Bagels are very strong, yeah.
You get yourself a bagel, but you're like, what about the hole at the bottom and everything? Oh, I got you covered. You put the meat on top of that hole. You put the meat right on top of that hole, maybe a piece of lettuce or something like that, you're covered.
Yeah.
You put some bacon on that baby, you put it on there, and you have got one of the greater sandwiches, burgers you were ever going to have.
I believe you. I want to try that because you've mentioned it a couple of times now, and I just got to get in there. I got to try that. It sounds really good.
It's worth it. It's worth trying at least once. Let's take another call before we go to break. Good morning. What's your combination?
Yeah, I like making mac and cheese the normal way, but leave the milk out and add a half a can of cream of mushroom or cream of chicken soup. Don't put anything in it. Just heat it up and add it to it.
Whoa!
Whoa! Oh, that's
I call it souped up mac and cheese.
Oh, that's good. I've never heard of that one.
That's a great name too. Excellent.
You got a great name, right? You might actually have something you can market right there. Yeah. That's pretty good. Oh, thank you for the call, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That was great.
That was really good. Great stuff, you guys.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Awesome.
Now, this is how we get you talking food.
Yeah, we got to get to the weird food.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to stick, you know.
It works.
Yeah.
Best listeners in radio, thanks so much for calling in, everybody. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll come back with the Danny Wright story, some good stories of the day, and plenty more for you on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. We're going to get into some That Ain't Right stories right now, like that song. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I know.
So we got a big story here that's kind of a That Ain't Right story, maybe. To each their own on this one. It's too big of a topic to just say that this is the case. You know, everybody's got to make their own thoughts on this one and chime in on this one. It's going to be harder for kids in Big Sky Country to stay up all night watching TikTok.
Okay.
Montana just passed the first state to ban TikTok. The law is set to take effect on January 1st of next year. Lawmakers passed the bill last month, and it was signed into law yesterday by Republican Governor Greg Gianforte. He tweeted that he did it to, quote, protect Montana's personal and private data from the Chinese Communist Party. TikTok is a Chinese app, and he's not the only one worried about it. The U.S. and Canada both banned TikTok on government devices earlier this year. Most states now have their own bans like that in place, too. But Montana is the first to fully ban it, so it won't even be allowed on personal devices. TikTok users won't face penalties. It just bans distribution, so companies like Apple and Google can't offer it on their app stores. If they do, the law says Montana can fine them up to $10,000 per violation every day until they stop. Some people think that could be hard to enforce, though. There's also still a chance the bill won't go into effect at all. Back when it first passed last month, TikTok called it an attempt to censor Americans' voices and said they plan to fight it. Quote, the bill's constitutionality will be decided by the courts. So we'll wait and have to see how this is going to develop and everything. Mm-hmm. There is nothing set in stone right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where this goes. I hear from both sides of the aisle, less government, less government, less government. And yeah, here we are relying on the government to do something that should be a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
And done. I don't I'm never going to be a fan of any type of censorship, even if it is for the betterment of society, because that is not what our country is built on. Now, freedom isn't free, and freedom of speech isn't free. Mm-hmm. You can't run into a building and yell fire right. and not have accountability and all that. So yep. we all understand all of these things.
There's a difference between free speech and consequence-free speech. These are two very different things.
But if your intent is to, if you are truly, if this is not just a political move, if this is not just yeah. that, if you are truly worried about, you know, not just Montana, but people's personal security and everything, why is there any social media?
Mm-hmm.
But like China is the only one. Like we got people in our own country mining our data.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot. Like maybe we should probably be taking care of things here at home before you're worrying about something right. that you are not even 100% sure of.
Exactly.
Where is the evidence that the Chinese government is spying on us?
Yeah.
Like that. I'm not saying they're not. I'm not saying that that's not happening. I'm a grown man. I understand mm-hmm. world politics better than most out there. I've studied this up since I was a kid. My sure. grandfather. Made dang sure I knew about this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not at all saying that, but I want proof. We can't just throw this stuff around. Yep. There is way too much on the line here.
Right.
Like, it's not just, we don't just live in a bubble here in America. We need the whole rest of the world to make this whole thing work just like they need us.
Yep.
Like, we're going to be doing these things. Okay. Is there a mm-hmm. reason for it? Where is the evidence? And then talk to me.
Yep.
Until then, count on human beings to make their own personal decisions. And if you're worried about your data being mined, don't use the stuff.
Yes.
That's all you got to do.
Right.
It ain't hard.
Yeah. It's one of the silly thing about it is, look, I get why people are concerned. If China wanted data on the American people, all it needs to do is pay the thousands of data brokers that are out there that are basically just selling it to the highest bidder.
They don't need a spy balloon. It's out there.
They don't.
They don't need a spy, period. Like, they've got that already.
Yeah.
The scammers, all those people out there. And to that point, why aren't we on that more?
Yeah.
Why aren't we working on that more and everything?
Right.
Like, there's bigger fish to fry. Yeah. This screams, and I cannot get in another person's head, so I'm not going to try to, but this screams of, oh, look at me, politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's look what I'm doing. Look how much I care about people. Look what I'm doing. I'm throwing out a bill that I put together in 2 seconds that isn't probably going to get passed. But you're going to talk about me for a couple of minutes. Yep. We're talking about Montana.
Yep. If the United States were serious, this is for me a deeply bipartisan issue. Mm. If anyone is issued about any of social media, China, U.S., doesn't matter where it originates from. If you want security, we need a comprehensive privacy law in the United States. We do not have one. If you want it, I think there's people on both sides of the aisle be like, hey, that's a good idea. I think we should have that. I don't think we should be allowing these giant companies to just take whatever they want from us.
Yeah.
We need something that will say, make them responsible for what they do. You know, we have to be responsible for what we do.
There needs to be accountability.
Yeah, responsibility for them, too.
Yeah, the lack of accountability that we see in businesses and in some areas of our society is dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Yeah.
Scary. And I could use a privacy thing. I personally could just myself, I could use one to cover up a lot of things.
Don't look at here. Look at the man behind the curtain there.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention. It'd be very interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah.
We can get to some local good stories of the day now. Mm-hmm. We got some great stuff going on. And tomorrow night, you got a great concert you can go to. Nakusa High School and Alexander Middle School have their Pops concert happening tomorrow at 6:30 over at the Nakusa High School. Encourage you to check that out. It's going to be a great show.
Support the students and all the great work they put into doing these things. It's awesome.
This weekend, there is a bunch of great stuff going on. We've got a couple of events Seth and I want to tell you about. Mm-hmm. One of them is the Dove's Nest 4th Annual Fundraiser. Mm-hmm. It is happening Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. This is happening over at Camelot on the Lakes. They're going to have great entertainment from early in the morning till 10 at night. They're going to have tons of activities like raffles, face painting, cabin tours, spot game, beanbag tournament, lots of food, Bloody Mary bar, soda, beer, drinks, all the Wisconsin standards, cheese curds, all those things.
Nice.
Again, this is all taking place at Camelot on the Lake at 298 Leisure Lane in beautiful Nakusa, Rome, more specific.
Yep.
Dove's Nest is a great organization. We really will ask you to you help us help them out. Mm-hmm. Reach out to them if you'd like. You can get in contact with them at alexcdovefoundation.org, and be sure to follow their Facebook page.
Yeah.
Another great event going on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be busy in Nacoosa on Saturday because at 8:30, starting at 8:30 a.m., there's the walk-off debt event happening at the shelter at Riverside Park in Nacoosa. That's at 916 Prospect Avenue. Registration, like I said, begins at 8:30. Walk starts at 9. Suggested donation of $10 per person for participation. This is being put on by the new ministerial group in the area called Grace, and they're inviting everyone to walk with them just a few steps or as long as you'd like as they raise money to help pay off food service debt for students in the Nacoosa School District. A very, very cool and an underreported issue that a lot of students are facing these days is that debt for lunch, for food service that it can cost seniors, you know, they can't get transcripts, they can't walk in graduation. So it's just to help some kids in Nacoosa, help get that out of the way.
I know that we promote a lot of other stations on our network here at WFHR. I don't know how much they promote our stuff. So we got to take the times where we can.
Yes.
We got some great stuff on our weekends. It starts off with the Sunshine Polka Show. Be sure to join us at 7 in the morning on Saturdays for that. Maybe the greatest show you ever hear.
It is.
Tim Hubbell does an amazing job at that show. He grabs polka from all over the world to put it together for you. Join us every Saturday, 7 in the morning, for the Sunshine Polka Show.
Love Tim.
You can also catch another episode of it on one and Sundays.
On Sundays, yeah.
Also, of course, Over the Back Fence on Saturdays from 11 to noon. Mm-hmm. Join us for it's your call-in show. Seth will be there taking your calls with your items you're looking for, items you want to sell, and of course, garage and rummage sales.
Oh, of course.
On our sister station tonight, you got a great show lined up.
Trail Tunes. Yeah. The next episode of Trail Tunes, all kinds of cowboy, western, south of the border tunes from history and today. Also, I got a little side thing on there today, and I said that very specifically. A couple of songs dedicated to sidekicks. The class Gabby Hayes, your Andy Devine, sidekicks from those old cowboy movies. So
be paying attention to our sister station, WIRI. They're going to have a morning show soon, everybody.
That's right.
We're looking forward to releasing
that.
That's
going to be fun, yeah.
Soon. And, of course, on Sundays, we got a great lineup for you. It starts with Seth Faces the Music. From 6 to 8. What is your theme this week?
I'm bringing everybody to the world this week.
Nice.
Songs about the world. This is one of those that I have more songs than I need. It's going to be hard to do this one this week, man.
So this is part one.
Maybe more than one.
And join us for Director's Cut from 8 to 9. We're going to have a great episode this week. We're going to talk a little bit about the writer's strike. I might try to get some of the people on the front lines on the air with us. And we're going to talk to a local writer, Bria.
Yeah.
My daughter Bria is going
to be bringing her back to the show. It'll be fun.
It's going to be a great episode.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us, Seth. Have a great day.
You too.
Have a good one out there, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.